I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Hockey on the Locked On Podcast Network. In today's episode, McJesus is risen, Kaprizov is worth the wait for the Wild, and Line A leads the Jets. Let's look at Thursday's stars, starting with Connor McDavid. The Oilers' center had 3 goals and an assist, 12 shot attempts, 9 shots on goal, as the Oilers won 5-2 over Vancouver. Now, McDavid created a bunch of chances in the opening game, and in the second game of the season, managed to start finishing. And so he looked every bit the best player in the world. Edmonton center Leon Draisaitl also had 4 assists in the game. Winnipeg Jets right winger Patrick Laine had 2 goals and assists, including the overtime winner in a 4-3 win against Calgary. Lots of talk about Laine wanting out of Winnipeg, but I think you can safely expect that he's going to want to score even while he's still there. Minnesota rookie left winger Kirill Kaprizov had a goal and 2 assists, including the overtime winner against Los Angeles. Pretty solid debut, and you know, well worth the wait for the Wild, getting Kaprizov 5 years after he was drafted. But now it looks like they may have added a real game-breaking talent to their team. So let's go through game by game for Thursday night. Washington 6 at Buffalo 4. The Sabres did manage some offense. Buffalo defenseman Jake McCabe, left winger Taylor Hall, and right winger Victor Olofsson all had a goal and an assist. Buffalo center Jack Eichel had 2 assists. Now the Sabres moved Tage Thompson up to play with Hall and Eichel. So, you know, maybe there's an upside there for Tage Thompson, but be wary because the Sabres are also playing Jeff Skinner on the fourth line right now with Curtis Lazar and Riley Sheahan, and that seems like a debacle right from the get-go. Buffalo winger Dylan Cousins made his NHL debut, recorded an assist, played 12 minutes and 9 seconds. A decent start, probably still not quite ready for your fantasy interest unless you're dynasty leagues. For Washington, right winger TJ Oshie had a goal and 2 assists. Defenseman John Carlson and center Nicholas Backstrom both had a goal and an assist. And left winger Alex Ovechkin, noted passer, had 2 assists. Capitals defenseman Brendan Dillon scored a goal, was on the ice for 3 goals, 4 and none against at 5-on-5. Washington still looked like an established playoff team, a team that kind of knows what they're doing. Buffalo is a team that still needs to tighten up defensively and has a little bit of offensive upside. I don't think that this came out as anything particularly surprising. Boston 3, New Jersey 2 with a shootout win for Boston. Bruins left winger Brad Marchand had a goal and an assist. Bruins defenseman Matt Grzelcyk recorded an assist, had 8 shot attempts, 6 shots on goal, and played 24:07. Now, the talk coming into the season was that Grzelcyk would be getting a bigger role on the Boston defense, and certainly through game one, he did. New Jersey rookie left winger Igor Sharangovich played on the top line with Jack Hughes and Kyle Palmieri. Unfortunately, they were caved in, getting 21% of the shot attempts, 28% of the expected goals. That was kind of rough, but overall, the Devils were competitive, thanks largely to goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood, stopped 35 of 37 shots. The Islanders went 4-0 at the Rangers. Left winger Anders Lee had a goal and assist for the Islanders. Defenseman Nick Leddy had 2 assists, and goaltender Semyon Varlamov with a 24-save shutout. The Rangers line of Artemi Panarin, Ryan Strome, and Kaapo Kakko got crushed. 23.5% of shot attempts, 20.2% of expected goals. Now, Rangers rookie Alexis Lafreniere held off the score sheet in his first NHL game, and rookie goaltender Igor Shestyorkin allowed 4 goals on 33 shots, but it was a tough start. He had allowed 3 goals on 7 shots early in the game, and at that point, the die was pretty much cast. Carolina, 3-0 win at Detroit. Now, Detroit goaltender Thomas Greiss was the star of the game, stopped 40 of 42 shots in the loss. Now, Greiss is one of the reasons that I think Detroit has a chance to be more competitive this year. I certainly don't think they're good, as evidenced by this game, but you can look at the upgrade from Jimmy Howard to Thomas Greiss and see a path to Detroit winning some more games. The Detroit line of Vladislav Namestnikov, Robbie Fabry, and Philip Zadina, which might nominally be considered their second line, was buried. They got 21% of the shot attempts, almost 30% of expected goals. And Carolina goaltender Peter Mrazek had a 14-save shutout. Not sure he broke a sweat, but such is life for the shot dominating Carolina Hurricanes against a weak Detroit Red Wings team. Columbus Blue Jackets lose 3-1 at Nashville. Nashville goaltender UC Saros stopped 29 of 30 shots in the win. Nashville's two leading shooters were defensemen. Roman Josi had 9 shot attempts, 6 shots on goal, and Ryan Ellis had 9 shot attempts, 5 shots on goal. For Columbus, they moved Mikhail Grigorenko up to the top line to play with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Oliver Bjorkstrand. If you listen to the comments from John Tortorella after the game, that was really the only line generating offense for them. He was not happy with basically forwards 4 through 12 in the Columbus lineup. Vancouver loses 5-2 at Edmonton. Big win for Edmonton after losing to the Canucks in the opener. As mentioned, Connor McDavid had 3 goals and an assist with 12 shot attempts, 9 shots on goal. Just a virtuoso performance. And Leon Draisaitl had 4 assists. But we also had Oilers left winger Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had 2 goals and an assist. And Oilers right winger Kyler Yamamoto had 2 assists. As you might expect, the chance to play with the likes of McDavid and Draisaitl can have some positive benefits. And Edmonton goaltender Mikko Koskinen stopped 38 of 40 shots for the win. He wasn't even supposed to play. It was going to be Mike Smith, but then Smith deemed unfit to play, and Koskinen gets pressed back into duty and had a great game. And Vancouver rookie Nils Höglander, he played 21:45, which was second most among Canucks forwards, and you know, seems like a lot. Even if you're impressed with how NHL-ready Höglander appears, that's a lot of ice time for his second NHL game. So coming up next, I'll continue through the rest of Thursday's games and go through some injury and status updates. Don't forget to check out more analysis at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. We ready for some playoff football? The NFL playoffs are in full swing. We've got NBA basketball. There's NHL hockey. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So let's continue with Thursday's games. And Calgary losing 4-3 in overtime at Winnipeg. As mentioned, for the Jets, right winger Patrick Laine had 2 goals and an assist. Also for the Jets, left winger Kyle Connor had a goal and an assist. And this is sort of the magic of the Jets. They may get outplayed from time to time, but they do have some high-end finishers who can make things okay. Calgary center Elias Lindholm led the Flames attack with a goal and an assist. San Jose, 4-3 win at Arizona in a shootout. San Jose had coughed up a 3-1 win to force it into overtime in a shootout, but nevertheless, they came out on top. Arizona left winger Clayton Keller and right winger Connor Garland both had a goal and assist. Garland also had 13 shot attempts, 7 shots on goal. Given the lack of depth up front for Arizona, there may be room for Garland to play a bigger role. Arizona defenseman Jacob Chychrun also had 2 assists. Now for the Sharks, it was one line doing a lot of the damage. San Jose center Tomas Hertl had 2 goals and assist. San Jose left winger Evander Kane had a goal and 2 assists. And rookie right winger John Leonard contributed 2 assists. Now, Hertl and Kane are going to be owned in just about every league. But if John Leonard is going to continue on the right side on that line, that may be a value play because Leonard was a sniper in college last year, had 27 goals in 33 games. But the opportunity to play with players as talented as Hertl and Kane is a pretty good place to be for a rookie. Anaheim losing 5-2 in Vegas. Vegas's attack was led by their new captain, right winger Mark Stone, had a goal and an assist. For Anaheim, the offense was provided by left winger Max Comtois, who scored 2 goals. And Comtois is worth having on your radar for fantasy because as long as he contributes enough offensively, he plays a physical game. And so, you know, he's going to have hits. He's going to give you some contributions in other categories. I guess one of the things to watch is his rookie season last year, he didn't generate a ton of shots. But, you know, if there is more offensive contributions coming from Max Comtois, he'll be relevant in fantasy because he will provide some other categories as well. Now, Vegas, they played five defensemen in this game, which is obviously unusual. The ice time, it was a really balanced attack. They ranged between 22 minutes and 25 and a half minutes. But the Golden Knights also played their 13th forward, Mark Kolosor. He played 4 minutes and 36 seconds. So hardly at all. This doesn't seem like it was really part of some strategic plan, anything more than they had some salary cap juggling to do and got stuck with five defensemen. Minnesota wins 4-3 at Los Angeles in overtime. And for the Kings, their attack was led by the old guys. Jeff Carter had a goal and assist, and Andre Kopitar contributed two assists. But for Minnesota, it was rookie left winger Kirill Kaprizov, goal and two assists, including the winner in overtime. And watching Kaprizov, you know he's competitive, you know he's creative, but he was also very confident. If you're watching some of the plays he was making against the Kings, and obviously the Kings are not going to be the standard team that he's going to play against, but you could look at that and see a player who's going to be driven to create offense and make things happen for Minnesota. So I was, you know, I would say relatively high on Kirill Kaprizov coming into the season. I remain relatively high on him after a three-point debut. Now, a couple of injury notes. Boston right winger Craig Smith out with a lower body injury, so he didn't play against New Jersey. Trent Frederick was plugged in. You don't need to worry about Frederick for fantasy, but certainly Craig Smith is relevant. He's a consistent 20-goal scorer in a regular NHL season, and he generates shots at an elite level. So keep an eye on when he might come back. New Jersey defenseman Will Butcher was a healthy scratch. Now rookie Ty Smith was in for the Devils and scored his first career goals, which was great. But Butcher may have some fantasy value. He's a good puck-moving defenseman who can work on a power play, but he certainly can't work on that power play from the press box. Buffalo center Eric Staal suffered a head injury against Washington. That's obviously troubling. And if you're Buffalo, in sort of selfish terms, you don't have anyone really capable to fill in for Staal. You know, whether that means Cody Eakin plays more or Dylan Cousins moves into the middle or what have you, there's still going to be some drop-off there. Columbus center Mikko Koivu, he's on the COVID-19 list. Edmonton left winger Tyler Ennis has a foot injury. And as noted, Edmonton goaltender Mike Smith was deemed unfit to play on Thursday night. Get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast wherever you get podcasts. And send me your questions. I'm at @ByScottCullen on Twitter. The show is at @LO_FantasyNHL on Twitter. If you want to send an email, direct it to LockedOnFantasyHockey@gmail.com. So, looking at the Friday schedule on BetOnline.ag. Unfortunately, the only lines that have that much variance with my model projections are the two most lopsided games of the night. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning are at home against Chicago Blackhawks. Tampa Bay favored at -255. And they had an easy time of it in the opening game. The Lightning won 5-1, but kind of took their foot off the gas. They were you know, much too good for the Chicago Blackhawks. And now, obviously, Chicago could bounce back and play better. But there aren't a lot of cases in the league where it seems that one team is far too good for another, but Chicago on the road at Tampa Bay might be one of those cases. The other prohibitive favorite for Friday night is Toronto Maple Leafs, -199 at the Ottawa Senators. And yes, the Maple Leafs should be favored, but this is a steep price on both of these favorites. And maybe it's deserved, but maybe you want to parlay them so you're not committing such a steep price on individual games. I tend not to want heavy favorites in hockey because they're overpriced. So just keep that in mind. Let's move on to the DFS lineup for Friday. Some recommendations, and we're staying in that Ottawa-Toronto game. Ottawa center Josh Norris is only $3,000 against Toronto, and he is going to be playing in a first-line role, it looks like, for Ottawa, for whatever that might be worth. But if Ottawa is going to generate offense, Norris has a pretty decent chance to be a part of it. Also, Ottawa right winger Evgeny Dadonov is only $3,100 against Toronto. He is likely Ottawa's most skilled forward, and at that price, you know, allows you some flexibility in filling other spots. That if you have Norris and Dadonov, well, then you're pretty much free to spend wherever you like. Even adding one of them though does open up some flexibility on your fantasy roster. Across the ice, we've got a couple of Toronto wingers. Mitch Marner, $6,200, and William Nylander, $5,900. Marner, he's playing with Austin Matthews. Matthews had a ton of chances in their first game of the season against Montreal, and so no reason to think that Marner won't be contributing to, you know, whatever success the Maple Leafs have offensively. And Nylander is coming off a two-goal, one-assist performance in the opener. He's playing with John Tavares, another great situation for putting up points. And they're going against an Ottawa team that, is not expected to be a strong club, that's for sure. And so, and the price, really, for Marner and Nylander, those are reasonable prices for guys who should be top-end producers. Buffalo, defenseman Rasmus Dahlin, $4,100 against Washington. The issue so for the Sabres seems to be defensively, and so if they can continue to generate offense, and Dahlin should be a part of that, that $4,100 might pay off. And Philadelphia defenseman Erik Gustafsson, a bargain at $2,900 against Pittsburgh. Gustafsson had a couple assists in the opening game, and is probably going to play 20-ish minutes against the Penguins, so not a bad price for him as a puck-moving defenseman. Now, there's not a lot of underrated value in net. Maybe consider whichever Avalanche goaltender is going tonight. Both Philip Grubauer and Pavel Francouz are priced at $7,700 against St. Louis Blues. I don't think the Avalanche should lose two in a row at home to start the season against St. Louis. But they certainly didn't look good in game one. And we'll see if they can bounce back. That will do it for today. Enjoy the games tonight. I will see you next time. You can check out my analysis at scottcollinhockey.substack.com. It's free to sign up. And check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. I've also written fantasy hockey preview pieces for McKean's Hockey and Dauber Hockey. And I'll be contributing again to The Athletic. So find these podcasts, subscribe, and rate them on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.